Visible Learning for Teachers, Maximizing Impact on Learning. Author, John Hattie. Visible Learning Inside. What are the attributes of schooling that truly make the difference to student learning? The processing attributes that make learning visible, such that we might say that the school has visible learning inside. The visible aspect refers first to making student learning visible to teachers, ensuring clear identification of the attributes that make a visible difference to student learning, and all in the school visibly knowing the impact that they have on learning in the school, of the student, teacher, and school leaders. The visible aspect also refers to making teaching visible to the student, such that they learn to become their own teachers, which is the core attribute of lifelong learning or self-regulation, and the love of learning that we want students to value. The learning aspect refers to how we go about knowing and understanding, and then doing something about student learning. Teachers, the major players in the education process. The first set of attributes that relate to visible learning inside is passionate and inspired teachers who focus on students' cognitive engagement with the content of what it is that is being taught. Focus on developing a way of thinking and reasoning that emphasizes problem solving and teaching strategies relating to the context that they wish students to learn. Focus on imparting new knowledge and understanding, and then monitor how students gain fluency and appreciation in this new knowledge. Focus on providing feedback in an appropriate and timely manner to help students to attain the worthwhile goals of the lesson, and seek feedback about their effect on the progress and proficiency of all of their students. Prior achievement. What a student brings to the classroom each year is very much related to his or her achievement in the previous years. Brighter students tend to achieve more, and not so bright students achieve less. Our job as teachers is to plan ways in which to accelerate the growth of those who start behind, so that they can most efficiently attain the curriculum and learning objectives of the lessons alongside the brighter students. This means knowing their trajectories of learning, the current learning strategies used, and how willing and ready the student is to invest in learning. Targeted learning. There are two parts in targeted learning. The first is being clear about what is to be learned from the lesson, the learning intention. Good learning intentions are those that make clear to the students the type or level of performance that they need to attain, so that they understand where and when to invest energies, strategies, and thinking, and where they are positioned along the trajectory towards successful learning. Second is having a way of knowing that the desired learning has been achieved, the success criteria. Success criteria relate to knowledge of endpoints. That is, how do we know when we arrive? Imagine if we were simply to ask you to get in your car and drive at some unspecified time. We will let you know when you have successfully arrived. For too many students, this is what learning feels like. At best, they know that when they get there. They will be asked for more, to drive more. And it should be no wonder that many students get turned off school learning. The climate of the classroom. A positive, caring, respectful climate in the classroom is a prior condition to learning. Without students' sense that there is a reasonable degree of control, sense of safety to learn, and sense of respect and fairness that learning is going to take place, there is little chance that much positive is going to occur. Teachers, therefore, need to have the ability to identify and quickly act on potential problems, and be aware of what is happening in the class. Students need to know the boundaries of what is acceptable or not. They need to be taught how to work in groups, and thus how to be involved in working with others in the learning process. Most importantly, students need to know the intentions of the lesson and the criteria for successfully attaining those learning intentions. Maximize learning with backward design. One of the best ways in which to maximize learning is to use the notion of backward design. Knowing our intentions and what success of a lesson should look like before we start to plan is the essence of such backward thinking. Such knowing also allows us to improvise and change during the process of teaching, while remaining reluctant to change the notions of success. Deliberate practice and concentration. Students thrive on formative feedback during the lesson. They do not want to be blocked by lack of feedback, and they do not want to wait until the end of the lesson to know that if they are on the right track. When mastery and performance are involved, it is important to choose tasks that invite students to engage in deliberate practice, being transparent about the end value of the practice, and providing much formative feedback to enhance the impact of the practice. To engage in deliberate practice requires many skills, and one often underestimated is the proficiency to concentrate or persistence. We concentrate in different ways, but for novices, it is often imperative that there are minimal distractions. This does not mean quiet rooms, no background ambience, and solitude. It does mean deliberate attempts to focus on the task, which deliberateness is the key, because rarely do most of us concentrate spontaneously. Learning is not as spontaneous as many would wish. The three feedback questions. Where am I going? The key components of this question relates to learning intentions, goals and targets, clarity, challenge and commitment. The key is not only the teacher creating and knowing these, but also students being fully conversant with them. 2. How am I going there? The second question highlights the notions of progress feedback, or feedback relative to the starting or finishing point, and is often expressed in relation to some expected standard or prior performance, or to success or failure on a specific part of the task. 3. Where to next? Such feedback can assist in choosing the next most appropriate challenges, and can lead to developing more self-regulation over the learning process, and greater fluency and automaticity, to learning different strategies and processes to work on the tasks, to deeper understanding, and to more information about what is and what is not understood. The end of the lesson. The lesson does not end when the bell goes. It ends when the teachers interpret the evidence of their impact on the students during the lessons relative to their intended learning intentions and initial criteria of success. That is, when teachers review learning through the eyes of their students. How many students gained the criteria of success? And for those that did not, what is now needed to assist them to meet the criteria? Underlying these questions is whether the student became active partners in evaluating their progress, as evaluators of the teaching impacts on their learning. Students are at least as effective as teachers, and often well ahead of most administrators and parents. Visible teaching and learning. Visible teaching and learning occur when learning is the explicit and transparent goal, when it is appropriately challenging, and when the teacher and the student both seek to ascertain whether and to what degree the challenging goal is attained. Visible teaching and learning occur when there is a deliberate practice aimed at attaining the mastery of the goal, when there is feedback given and sought, and when there are active, passionate, and engaging people participating in the act of learning. It is teachers seeing learning through the eyes of students, and students seeing teaching as the key to their ongoing learning.